Saratoga Performing Arts Center is continuing with their SPAC Reimagined, a virtual Beethoven 2020 festival, which celebrates the 250th anniversary of the composer's birth. Highlighting the virtual festival are special events, including an exclusive Beethoven recital with pianist Jonathan Biss. That takes place on August 21st, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jonathan to the roundtable this morning. Jonathan, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you on the show. So give us a sense of how this all came about.
Back in olden times, by which I mean March, I was scheduled to come to Saratoga to play the Emperor Concerto, Beethoven Emperor Concerto with the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I don't remember exactly when, but, you know, as the COVID crisis unfolded, it became clear that that wasn't going to be possible. And then the festival approached me about this idea of doing something virtual. And while, you know, I became a musician to play it for people live, and I missed that terribly, I'm really, really happy that it still is somehow possible to share music with people, even in these very bizarre circumstances. So I recorded the concert from my living room, which is the only place I've played since, I think, March 8th or something. and I sent them all of the files. And yeah, it's an unusual way of making music, but there is actually something very intense about it. Knowing that ultimately you're playing for people, but being alone in an enclosed space when you're doing it.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because the intensity is interesting. I mean, I find that when I'm doing something live, I usually will stumble through it better than I will do it if I'm recording it. I'm interested in how you do it with that in the back of your mind of, oh, well, if I need to, I can do this again.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's something about a live performance that it's not just the presence of the audience. It's also knowing it exists right now. You're going to go on stage and you're going to do it, and you're going to be probably really happy with some of it and less happy with other parts, but it's, you're going to, you know, do it from the beginning to the end, and you're going to experience it in real time. And it's hard to find that same sense of focus and purpose when you know that if you don't like it, you can just start over again. So I before I start playing in these situations, I really try to, I don't exactly know how to put it, to channel something, channel the presence of an audience, and to think about the idea that when I play the first note of the piece, it's leading me inevitably, maybe even inexorably, to the end. And I think maybe it's a little easier to do that with Beethoven than with other music, because his music is, aside from all its other qualities, it's constructed so beautifully. So you do kind of feel that, you know, the first phrase of the Waldstein is amazing, but it's mostly amazing because of where it's going. So I try to use the innate qualities of the music to make up for all the things I'm missing, like an audience and a hall and the live experience.
Well, that's fascinating to me. So the structure is the roadmap, really, that brings you through. So there is an A, B, C, and D.
Absolutely. And I would say not in a just a kind of a dry or analytical sense, it's the emotional roadmap. It's like that's the brilliance of Beethoven, that, you know, the thing that happens at the beginning makes the next thing necessary, and the next thing, and the next thing. Just how our, like our own emotions, they don't always seem logical, but you kind of know yourself how one of them leads to another, to another. And I think the greatest music functions like that because it describes human feeling, and Lord knows Beethoven's does.
Tell us a little bit about the recital that has been put together.
So it was the request of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center that I put together a recital that was not only music, but also a bit of a discussion of that music and of its meaning to me. And that made actually a lot of sense because what I'm playing is two Beethoven sonatas, and this concert, virtual concert, comes at the end of a year in which I was supposed to have been playing the complete cycle of the 32 sonatas in all kinds of venues. And in fact, at the end of a decade where I recorded all of them. So I have been so immersed in this music for a really long time, but there is a lot to talk. I mean, it's anyway, the music is so extraordinary. There's always a lot to talk about, but I've been kind of so in it that there's a lot to talk about on a personal level too. So I, before each of the two sonatas, of course, I play one of the early works, Opus 14, number 2, and then the Waldstein. I talk about the pieces and their meaning to me, and their meaning in the context of Beethoven's life and of the 32 sonatas, because I think what's really miraculous about those 32 sonatas is how they're in a constant state of evolution. No two of them are similar. So I kind of try to get into that in my introduction to the performances.
Given that evolution, does the meaning change for you? Is that a constantly evolving thing?
Yeah, I think that's one of the really magical things about playing great music, is that it's infinitely interesting. And so, you know, you wake up a slightly different person every day, and you find that the music is evolving with you, that there are aspects of it that are either completely new that you didn't see before, or that suddenly seem more prominent, more crucial. And I've been playing some of these Beethoven sonatas for close to 30 years now. You know, some of them less long, but, you know, we're talking, you know, decades, and they don't stand still. And I think that probably ultimately is what separates merely good music from great music, is that great music never stops being fresh and being meaningful, no matter where you are in your life.
The title of it is Jonathan Biss in Concert and Conversation. But you're going to be guiding people through not only these sonatas, but your relationship to them.
I'm trying, yes. I mean, I think that, that, you know, I've spent a lot of time writing about music and talking about, I gave a class on the Beethoven sonatas, but I do, there is this part of me that ultimately thinks that the greatness of music lies in the impossibility of describing it in words, that it's addressing aspects of humanity and our, not to be, you know, highfalutin, but like our relationship with the universe, really. That if I tried to tell you what it's about, I would fail. So in the end, you know, I've tried to say things, you know, in this concert and in, you know, whenever I talk about Beethoven that are not hopelessly vague. But I think in the end, you have to listen. That the music tells you everything about these pieces that's truly worth knowing.
As you mentioned, of going through of what was planned, and you completed some of the work, right, of the schedule that you had of completing all of these and going places to perform.
Yes, I had recorded all of them, and in terms of the places where I was playing the complete cycle, I had done about, you know, 2/3, 3/4 of it, you know, because it was a sort of a September through June project, and March is when everything came to a screeching halt.
So even that, I assume you learn through that process. You learn through just doing that even more than you did going into it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think with music in general, there is something about the downtime that's very, very productive, actually. And, you know, I've been traveling and performing pretty constantly for 20 years now. And this is, I think, maybe the longest in my life, certainly the longest since then, that I've been in one place nonstop. And you experience time differently, you work differently. And kind of the sense of deliberation it's been really hard, I'm not going to lie, but it's been a real learning moment for me. You know, this music, which is, you know, so complicated, it does need just time for reflection. And I do think whenever I'm back on stage again, I'm going to find that my relationship with both the music and with the idea of playing for people will have changed. I'm not sure I could tell you exactly how, but it won't be where it was in March. That I feel really sure of.
And that time with it, even when you're doing things like this recital that you're recording, it is very, I mean, it's the height of intimacy, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, this recital doesn't have any of the late music, but I found, especially playing the late music where, you know, Beethoven was actually, in fairness, Beethoven was virtually deaf when he wrote the Waldstein already, but he was you know, he could only feel vibrations at the point at which he was writing the late music. And so there's something about the nature of the music itself it's so much about, you know, you said intimacy, I would say maybe also isolation, that playing it under those circumstances, you feel like you're communing with him in a kind of unbelievable way. So it'll, you know, in some way, I wonder when I play this music and alone in my studio, if maybe I'm closer to it or closer to his conception of it than is maybe possible in a concert hall.
August 21st at 8 p.m. is when folks can see Jonathan Biss in concert and conversation for this Beethoven recital. They can find out more by going to spac.org and also the new website as well. Jonathan Biss, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Again, the name of the event is Jonathan Biss in Concert and Conversation. It is a Beethoven recital. It takes place August 21st at 8 p.m. It is all part of the SPAC Reimagined Virtual Beethoven 2020 Festival, which celebrates the 250th anniversary of the composer's birth. The highlights, besides Jonathan Biss, also include the world premiere of Testament, as well as Cafe Lena Stay Home Sessions. You can find out more about all of this by going to the website spacbeethoven.org, spacbeethoven.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.